I want to invite you to think about a time in your life that you felt was the most difficult, like an absolute test or trial, a time in your life that brought you to your knees probably more than you ever even imagined. And maybe you felt like your prayers were so incessant that you maybe even were bothering the Lord. I don't know about you, but I have had moments like that. Have you ever had a moment like that? You don't have to share what it is, but...
Probably.
Yeah, just consistently begging the Lord to help you get through what you were going through. I'd like to offer this insight, and we're going to show you a quote at the end of this podcast that says, it might be that what you were going through was actually helping you become more like our Savior Jesus Christ and our heavenly parents. Today, we're going to talk about a test or a trial in the scriptures that I'm sure brought all those involved to their very knees. But in the whole act of going through this process, it absolutely made them more like their Savior and their heavenly parents. Welcome to Jesus Christ in Scripture, Finding Christ on Every Page. I'm Tammy Uselak Hall, and this is my friend, Dr. Donald W. Perry. And we are so excited to introduce you into this storyline today. Turn in your scriptures to Genesis chapter 22, verse 1. And it came to pass after these things that God did tempt Abraham and said unto him, Abraham, and he said, Behold, here am I. All right. The word tempt is very important. Don,
yes.
God didn't tempt Abraham.
No.
What does the word tempt in Hebrew mean?
So I put up the root letters. In Hebrew, all verbal roots, there are three root letters.
Yes.
We call it triconsonantalism. Three consonants.
Yes.
I love that system. So those are the three, and I put it there so everyone can see, and that's what it says. God tested. God did test. God tested Abraham or tried him. Mm-hmm. It's not tempted.
So in that test or that trial, I think it's important for us to know, because that happens to all of us. Like, life brings tests, life brings trials. And this test or trial that Abraham's about to experience was massive.
Yes.
Massive. So talk to us about this test or trial and why it's important to know that maybe they were becoming more like their Savior and their heavenly parents through it.
Yes, let's do it. So actually, a medieval Jewish scholar named Maimonides.
Okay.
I studied his works in grad school. He died, as I recall, 1204 AD.
Okay.
And I took my students, when we were on a study abroad to Israel, to his gravesite. We talked about him at his gravesite. He, based on some earlier studies, came out with a list of 10 tests of Abraham. Hmm. We're just going to look at one of the 10. Abraham and Isaac are types and shadows of God the Father and Jesus Christ. Behold, they believed in Christ and worshiped the Father in his name, and also we worship the Father in his name, and for this intent we keep the law of Moses, it pointing our souls to him, and for this cause it is sanctified unto us for righteousness, even as it was accounted unto Abraham in the wilderness to be obedient unto the commands of God. Now, listen to this. In offering up his son Isaac, which is a similitude or similar or a type and shadow of God the Father and his only begotten son. So that's clear. This is really important.
It absolutely is. And I like this line. It accounted unto Abraham in the wilderness to be obedient to the commands. That obedient word is so important as they're striving to become more like our heavenly parents. So this is awesome, Don. So Abraham and Isaac, they are a parallel of God and Jesus Christ. Here's what Paul wrote. By faith, Abraham, when he was tried, offered up Isaac, and he that had received the promises offered up his only begotten son, of whom it was said that in Isaac shall thy seed be called, accounting that God was able to raise him up even from the dead, from whence also he received him in a figure. What does that mean, in a figure?
A figure is a similitude or a symbol.
Yeah, absolutely. So this is really interesting, because a lot of people think that as Abraham and Isaac went up to the mountain to have this experience, that Isaac, and I always thought this when I was first learning, that Isaac must have been a little child or a baby, that he had no say in what was happening. But Josephus writes that he may have been somewhere around 25 years old or older, right?
There are some other traditions that put Isaac in his 30s.
Okay.
So we don't know the age, but I don't think he was a teenager or a little boy.
Okay. Why is it significant then, if you consider he was older in this experience?
Because he, in my opinion, could have overpowered his father if he disagreed.
Yeah.
What's going on? Dad, you're old. I'm not going to take this.
Yep.
Step aside or whatever.
Oh, he could have ran away.
Could have run away, yes.
So now we have two people who are being obedient.
So let's look at the parallels. The prophecy of birth, the miraculous birth, the father and the son, the burnt offering. I can't wait to explain that one. Another Hebrew word.
It's going to be
submission, good. Submission, carried the wood, bound, substitute sacrifice, the place, Moriah, and the 3 days.
So grab your scriptures, and in Genesis 22, get out a pencil or a pen and something to mark your scriptures with. This is a really fun thing to do if you're ever teaching this lesson or just on your own, to find as many correlations as you can between the Savior and Isaac and Abraham and our heavenly parents. So we are going to go through the ones Don just explained. This is so amazing. Don, hit it. What do we have first?
Okay, so the first one is prophecy of birth. God said, Sarah, thy wife, shall bear thee a son, indeed, and thou shalt call his name Isaac. Now, this is a prophecy. We're going to look at the miracle in the next slide.
Yep.
Behold, a virgin shall conceive and bear a son. She will call his name Emmanuel.
And Sarah was old, so it was so Sarah miraculous. The miraculous birth. Isaac was born of aged parents. Wherefore did Sarah laugh, saying, shall I of a surety bear a child which am old? Christ was miraculously born a virgin. Then said Mary unto the angel, how shall this be, seeing I know not a man? Can we just talk for a second about her saying right here, Sarah did laugh?
Yeah.
Why is that significant?
Because that's a wordplay on Isaac's name.
What does Isaac mean?
Isaac's name either means, and the scholars have different opinions, just know all the time the scholars have different opinions. It either means he will rejoice or he will laugh.
And I think
it could mean both.
I think both work perfectly for this story, but I think this is so perfect. Yeah. She laughed in Isaac's name, that's what it means?
Yeah.
Great. The next is the father and the son.
There's an emphasis on son in this text. Mm-hmm. You said Genesis 22. 8 times he's mentioned son. It's just repeated. And you say, why this repetition? I got it the first time. And twice he's called only son. Mm-hmm. And you say, why is he called only son when Abraham and Hagar had already had Ishmael?
Right.
Well, there's some symbolism there because Jesus is the only begotten of the Father. So you have to kind of put two and two together. Both Isaac and Jesus are called son of promise. And then Genesis 22 also emphasizes the role of the father, Abraham as father. And father is found more than a dozen times. And as I mentioned earlier, the A-B in Abe, of, means father.
Yeah. What does the rest of his name?
The etymology we're not positive about, but some scholars say it means father of a multitude.
That's
is that
awesome.
Interesting?
I think it's very interesting,
yes,
given his name, because his name would go from Abram to Abraham.
Yeah.
Huge.
Yeah.
Huge name change.
So 6 times in this text, and I've given the verses, Isaac is referred to as a burnt offering. And this is the Hebrew here, and it literally means burnt offering.
Hmm.
And when we have the tabernacle of Moses and the temple of Solomon, and it talks about the burnt offering at the altar, it's the exact same word. Then burnt offerings of the Old Testament look forward to Jesus Christ's sacrifice.
And so when we get to the study of the burnt offering and this experience, it will be all in similitude of Jesus Christ.
Yes, yes.
Powerful. The next is submission. Isaac willingly submitted to the sacrifice, and Jesus Christ willingly submitted to the Father. And that wording, nevertheless, not my will, but thine be done.
Okay, carrying the wood, you might say, what? Is there really a parallel here? Remember, Jacob chapter 4 says a similitude. So this is another strong, similar item. Christ bearing his cross.
Yep.
And then Isaac bore the wood for his sacrifice.
Then we have the binding. Abraham bound Isaac to the altar. Jesus was bound before he was delivered to Pontius Pilate, the governor.
And then the substitute sacrifice, God will provide himself a lamb. And God provided a lamb as a substitute sacrifice for Isaac. And remember, Christ is called the lamb in several passages in the scriptures.
Oh, now we have Mount Moriah.
Yes, yes.
Okay, so Mount Moriah, Isaac traveled to the land of Moriah for sacrifice, the very area where Solomon would build his temple and where thousands of sacrifices would be offered for several centuries in anticipation of Jesus' sacrifice. Christ was crucified on Moriah at Golgotha, a short distance north of the altar. Wow.
Yeah.
So now we're going to wrap it all up and go back to how we started when I asked you about a time that you have really gone through a mortal struggle, where you feel like maybe you're being tested or tried just because of earth life and the way we live. And I love this quote by Elder Henry B. Eyring because he puts it all into context. He puts into context our suffering, the suffering of Abraham and Isaac, and the suffering of people that we know and love. And here's what he said. I have seen people rise to great heights through proving faithful in terrible trials. Across the church today are examples. People are driven to their knees by adversity. By their faithful endurance and effort, they become more like the Savior and our Heavenly Father. And in James chapter 2, verse 23, the verse says, and the scripture was fulfilled, which saith, Abraham believed God, and it was imputed unto him for righteousness, and he was called the friend of God. I can't think of a better compliment at all than to be called the friend of God because of being obedient. What does it mean for you to be obedient? How can we be more obedient to become his friend? And I just think every one of us are trying. That's what I love about it. Everyone's doing their best to be obedient, and in turn, you become God's friend. And so that's very cool about this lesson of the Abrahamic covenant. So thank you, Don, sharing all of those connections of similitudes and types and shadows. We hope you enjoyed this episode and that you'll be able to talk about this with friends and the idea of becoming a friend with God. Shalom and goodbye.